One of the hardest things to get across to people in our pluralistic society is that there is one absolute truth that is revealed in the Word of God, and that if we're going to be saved, we must be willing to accept and follow that truth only and reject everything else. And in the Gospel of John, which we hope to begin studying Tuesday nights in our class, we find that John's purpose for writing was to give forth part of that evidence that people would need in order to determine the identity of Jesus as the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Messiah. And in one of those instances where that evidence was presented, the man born blind in John chapter 9, we see the necessity of being blind in order to see the truth. It's unusual because most of the times in the scripture, blindness is associated with a negative quality that you don't want to have. Being blind in a spiritual sense is described as negative, and many times that would prevent us from seeing the truth because we're blinded in a bad way. However, in John 9, being blind is used in a positive way to show that only those who are blind to error will be able to humbly and honestly receive the truth that is given in the Word of God. Look at how blindness is usually used when it comes to those who reject truth. Matthew 15 and verse 14, for example. "Let them alone," Jesus said about those who followed the Pharisees and the Pharisees. "They are blind guides of the blind. And if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit." They're blind to the truth. They will not see it. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3 regarding those who reject the gospel of Christ. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3, "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." And so blindness is often used as a negative in the scripture. We don't want to be blind in regard to when we are searching for truth revealed in God's word. But in John 9, Jesus heals a man that's born blind. And because he was blinded to erroneous, prejudicial thinking, this miraculously healed blind man was able to see the truth about Jesus. He is the Son of Man, the light of the world. He is the Messiah. In contrast, the Pharisees and their followers, they persistently held on to error. They rejected the incontrovertible evidence, that is, the man born blind looking right at them, being able to see by the healing of Jesus. They rejected all that in favor of their error, and thus they say they saw when they did not. John chapter 9 and verse 39, at the end of the chapter, "And Jesus said, 'For judgment I came into this world, so that those who do not see may see.'" That is, they have a good blindness because they're blind to error. They're blind to prejudicial thinking. They're not going to let that interfere with seeking the truth. "And that those who see may become blind." That is, those who say that they can see, let them become blind to error. That's which gives them a false idea of what truth is. Those of the Pharisees who were with him with him heard these things and said to him, "We are not blind too, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." So in this sense, one of the few instances where being blind is used as a positive, but it's a blindness that will not allow prejudicial thinking, unfair thinking, and holding on to error to interfere with us seeing the truth. This morning our lesson is confined to John chapter 9, and we will read it and we will look at it, and hopefully we will learn that we need to be blind also if we're going to see the truth. Jesus heals a man born blind, John chapter 9 and verse 1. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent him as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and applied the clay to his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. So he went away and washed and came back seeing. What a marvelous miracle. And these charlatans, pikers, and con artists that we have today, imposters that claim to perform miracles. But Jesus did perform the miracle of the man born blind. Everybody knew he had been a beggar. Everybody saw him every day in that part of Jerusalem begging because he had been born blind. Not because he was a sinner or his parents were sinners, but he had been born blind. But even those physically blind can serve God and follow after the Lord if they have the proper attitude toward truth. But now he finds himself being able to do something that he had never done before in his life, that he could see the wondrous world around him and the people around him, and how people reacted to him, and how people, more importantly, reacted to Jesus. And this is what our Tuesday night studies will be about in the Gospel of John, how people reacted to Jesus and the truth that Jesus was showing them about himself is a lesson for us all to learn, lest we be caught up with the crowd and the leaders and those who rejected the evidence right in front of their face. His neighbors, they will not honestly evaluate the evidence on their own. They will not think for themselves. Have you ever met people like that? Oh, unless my preacher says it, or my priest says it, or my relative says it, or my spouse says it, or some expert says it that they like to bring up, then it just can't be true. John 9 and verse 8, "Therefore the neighbors and those who previously saw him as a beggar were saying, 'Is not this the one who used to sit and beg?'" You know, I would question the nature of their eyesight if I wouldn't you? Maybe they were closer to being blind than they were thought this man was blind. What do you mean? Is this not the... Of course it's the man. Can't you see? Can't you see? And now this man can see, and now you're doubting your own sight? Can't you see? Sure it's him. Sure it's him. And now he can see you. Now he can see you. Others were saying, "This is he." Still others were saying, No, but he is like him. Can you imagine? Like him, if he's like him, he's an identical twin. Like him. He kept saying, I am the one. So they were saying to him, how then were your eyes open? Now that it's confirmed that you are the one, then what happened to you? And so here is the man beginning with his simple but truthful testimony of what happened to him. Verse 11. He answered, the man who is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went away and washed, and I received sight. That simple. That simple story would never change. And he's seeing to prove it. They said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. But what did that have to do about the truthfulness of what he's saying? Can't you people just accept that he's telling the truth? He's looking right at you. You know it's the same man. They brought to the Pharisees. What did they have to do with anything? Is that going to... Do you need the Pharisees to confirm the man's story about what he's telling you? Brought him to the Pharisees, the man who was formerly blind. Now it was a Sabbath on the day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. That is the problem. Then the Pharisees also were asking him again how he received his sight. And he said to them, he applied clay to my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Sort of like talking to these government bureaucrats sometime, and you tell them the same thing over and over again, or talking to somebody in the health care that makes it so complicated they can't even treat you, and you're telling your symptoms over and over again, and they just talk about one thing and then another, and they're not listening to anything you're talking. This man repeats again, this time to the Pharisees, how he came to receive his sight. And yet, the problem that the Pharisees have is they see Jesus as a Sabbath breaker. Oh, he violates our traditions that we restrict him and everybody from doing this and that on the Sabbath. And because this man made clay on the Sabbath and commanded another man to go wash in a pool, then he's guilty of breaking the Sabbath. Therefore, he can't be the Messiah. He can't even be anybody from God because he's breaking the law of God. That was their prejudice regarding Jesus. The Pharisees see, they thought they saw the truth, when actually they saw error and were blind to the truth. Therefore, some of the Pharisees were saying, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath, talking about Jesus. But others were saying, how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? And there was a division among them. Now that was a logical question. That was a reasonable question, was it not? How can a man who is a sinner do these miracles? Good question. But they will stifle that question. They will stifle it, not by evidence to the contrary, but by a persecution against anybody who would dare believe Jesus and controvert them. The man who now sees Jesus, the formerly blind man sees Jesus to be a prophet. He really doesn't know who Jesus is, but he knows he's from God. Verse 17, so they said to the blind man again, what do you say about him since he opened your eyes? And he said, he's a prophet. He didn't say he's a Sabbath breaker. He said he's a prophet. Got to be. Well, they weren't going to accept that. And so they began to attack the veracity of the man born blind, whether he can really be depended on as a truthful witness, and they called in his parents to confirm that he had even been born blind. Isn't that something? Verse 18, the Jews then did not believe it of him that he had been blind and had received sight, until they called the parents of the very one who had received his sight. But all the neighbors knew who it was, didn't they? Now, this can't be true that Jesus healed him, because we know Jesus is a Sabbath breaker. We know Jesus is a blasphemer. We know Jesus is a sinner. None of this can be true. Questioning them, saying, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? Then how does he now see?" You see, that's the real problem. It can't be that Jesus healed him, especially healed him on the Sabbath. That can't be so. It's got to be something else. We can't be wrong. And let me tell you something, brethren. If we believe we have come to a church, or we have been brought to a situation where we have joined ourselves to a church that can't be wrong, then we're already in deep trouble. Because not only have churches been wrong, but they have been wrong in a myriad of matters over a period of time. Even those churches planted by the apostles were warned that they would go into apostasy, and they did. But the Pharisees said, we can't be wrong. Therefore, Jesus had to be wrong, and anybody who follows Jesus has to be wrong. Verse 20, is that where I am?
Yes.
His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind." Thank you. Thank you for at least telling that much of the truth. But how he now sees, we do not know. You mean he didn't tell you? Your own son didn't tell you how he now sees? Or who opened his eyes? We do not know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they loved their son? No. Because they loved the truth? No. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed him to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Put out of the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." Do you see how Satan works? And how even they should be rejoicing over their son who had been born blind now seeing, but they're not going to jump in there with him and say, "We believe our son. We don't know who Jesus is, but we believe our son when he says Jesus healed it." They're not even going to do that. They're going to say, "Boy, it's on you. You know, we're glad you see, but hey, we don't want any part of this. We're glad you see, but you're not going to get us thrown out of here." Ho-ho! Can you imagine? Yeah, we're happy you see, but if you're going to make trouble in this synagogue, you know, you're on your own. You can see now anyway. So you're on your own. That's what fear of a community will do and keep us from seeing the truth. The Pharisees see Jesus as a Sabbath breaker, and that's why many don't accept the truth today, because they are so fearful of their families or of their churches that If these things are true, how could we ever face, well, how can you ever face God if you reject the truth? Maybe that should be the first thought, and not how can I face family if I turn against my beliefs, but how can I face God if I reject the truth? The Pharisees see Jesus as a Sabbath breaker, and anybody who dissents from that is going to be punished. Is going to be punished by being ostracized and put out of the synagogue. Verse 24, so a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner, that is Jesus. In other words, we see the truth about Jesus, when in reality, they didn't see it. He then answered, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. Oh, what? This man is trouble. And let me tell you something. Anybody who openly and sincerely and honestly speaks truth about the Word of God is in trouble. They are trouble. They are in trouble. Not with God, but with those who want to be in error and who think they already see when they don't. The Pharisees continue to see Jesus as a Sabbath breaker. So they said to him, what did he do to you? What a stupid question. What difference does it make what he did to him? He's looking at you right in the face. And he was born blind. What difference does it make what he did to him? What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he answered them, I told you already. You really don't want to know the answer to that. I told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You do not want to become his disciples too, do you? Now we go. In other words, he's showing them up for what they are. They're not honest. They don't want to know anything about what the man... He's repeated himself over and over. They didn't believe him over and over. Now they ask him, it's like a police interrogation here, isn't it? And I'm not making a disparaging remark regarding police, but it's like an interrogation of any legal type, isn't it? Well, we don't believe your story. I'm going to ask you again. Well, why are you asking me again? I'm telling you the same thing. The same thing. And yet he's staring them right in the face. The man who had been born blind. Verse 28, they reviled him and said, now we got it. How is that going to get to the truth? By reviling the one who is testifying about what happened. You are his disciple, but we are not. But we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he is from. You didn't want to know. The man answered and said to them, well, here is an amazing thing. That you do not know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes. Boy, it's like a nail is pounded when this man speaks. You know, today we would talk about, well, this man said it in the wrong tone. They reviled the man too, but his speech, the truth was just so powerful and so poignant that it went right through them. We know that God does not hear sinners, the man born blind said, now seeing. But if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him. Since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. similar to what Nicodemus, a Pharisee, had said when he came to Jesus. We know that you're from God because you're doing these miracles. Well, the blind man is attesting to the same thing, the man formerly blind. And yet, like many, Nicodemus was too fearful to openly confess Jesus before his community. The Pharisees, when they don't answer the evidence, what do people always do when they can't answer the evidence? They persecute you. They persecute you. Verse 34, they answered him, "You were born entirely in sins." Not true. "And are you teaching us?" We're the experts. So they put him out. They ostracized him from the synagogue. When people don't have an answer, the only answer they know is personal attack and even physical attack, persecution on every level. We got to get rid of this guy. Why? Is what he says true? That has nothing to do with it. We must be right. He can't be right. Jesus can't be right. Because that would mean we are wrong. This lesson's almost over. Upon further evidence, the formerly blind man sees Jesus as the Son of Man, that is, as the Messiah. Verse 35, Jesus heard that they had put him out, and finding him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered. "Well, you're a Sabbath breaker, Jesus. How can I believe in a Sabbath breaker?" He did not answer with a prejudicial thought. He answered, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" What do you have to say, Lord, along with the evidence you provided by healing me? Who is he? Where is the evidence? Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and he is the one who is talking with you." And upon hearing that, he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. There was no error that the man loved that he wanted to hang on to if it meant rejecting the truth that Jesus was the Son of Man, the Messiah. Isn't that beautiful? And Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, so that those who do not see, those who are blind, may see." But blind in a good way. "And that those who see in a bad way may become blind in a good way." That is, blind to error. Blind to anything that would keep them from knowing and following the truth. The Pharisees were unwilling to become blind to error and see the truth about Jesus. We wind up back where we started in the beginning, verse 40. Those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, "We are not blind too, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. You would be able to see the truth if you were blind to error and your traditions that you would rather have instead of the truth. But since you say we see, your sin remains. You reject truth." They proudly said we see, as we look at the last slide, while they openly held on to error. And they rejected the truth about Jesus in spite of the evidence provided, the man born blind being healed, and the other miracles that we read about in the Gospel of John This was the sixth of seven miracles in the Gospel of John. The last would be Lazarus. And you know how crazy they got about Lazarus, don't you? You remember how crazy these people got about Lazarus. It wasn't enough that the man got sick and died. But after Jesus raised him from the dead, after being dead for several days, they plotted even to not only kill Jesus, but to kill Lazarus and make sure he gets put back in that tomb. That's how crazy they were. That's how much they loved and saw error more than they were willing to accept truth. If they had been humble and honest as a blind man who received the truth, they would have no sin. They would have been blind in a good way. Like the blind man, they should have been willing to be blind to error and receive and obey the truth that was revealed by Jesus, the light of the world. And that's the trouble today as we draw the lesson to a close. Did you know that because so many people have been brainwashed into the error that there's more than one way to be saved, that they will never accept God's true way of being saved? Did you know that? Did you know that because people love the error so much that any type of sincere religion is acceptable, that they will not look for the truth in God's Word? Did you know that so many who have accepted and loved the error, that there any church is good and God doesn't care? There's so many churches, and that's what the Lord's church is, a collection of churches that teach different things, that they won't see the truth that is revealed in God's Word, that Jesus built one church, that there's only one way to be saved, and when you become saved, that you are added by Jesus to that one church, which is not any part of any denomination, none of which are in the Word of God, none of which that we should belong to. But you've got to be blind to those errors, you see. You cannot let those errors intimidate or interfere. And the pressure of a community that wants you to stay in those errors, you cannot let any of that interfere you from seeing the truth in the gospel, in the Word of God. This morning, are you blind in a good way? Are you ready to see the truth by being blind to error? Why not become a child of God and repent of your sins upon belief in Jesus? Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins as you confess His name, that you might be raised up out of the water of baptism, belonging to Christ, who has promised eternal life. Eternal life and glory that doesn't even compare to anything upon this earth. Why not begin that new life today, not by holding on to error, but grasping, following, and obeying and loving the truth? Those who are already Christians don't believe the error that we can never be lost after being saved. Let us continually turn from our sins, confess those things before God, and pray for forgiveness and pray for one another, that the blood of Jesus might cleanse us after once we have been baptized, that we might walk again by His grace and search after and apply those truths to our lives even more fervently and fruitfully. If anyone is subject to that grand, glorious gospel invitation, the gospel of His grace, the gospel of Christ, won't you come as we stand and as we sing? Let us stand.